Feeling sorry, not absolute. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Feeling sorry is not absolute. Why would we say that? Why would we say that feeling sorry is not absolute? Well, absolute is the condition of all things being that which they are. All things being the is that they are. All things being the fulfillment that they are. And when we feel sorry, it's that we are unable to accomplish the goals that we want. We are unable to accomplish being who and what we are in our mind, in our thought, in our vision. Now, how many times do we take a vitamin or a pill, and we think that that vitamin or pill is going to do some good for us? It's going to help us to have a healthier body. It's going to help us have a healthier mind. It's going to help us in every possible wonderful way. It's going to help us. Now, how many times have we thought that? And then we go and we take that pill, and the pill works slowly, maybe far too slowly, or maybe it works very quickly. Maybe it's hallucinogenic and immediately we have very strange thoughts. But how many times have we felt sorry for ourselves and thought that we were working on the absolute level of consciousness? That is the strangest attitude that one could ever have. Because absolute consciousness says it is done. It is complete. Whatever is, and there's nothing more to be done. But feeling sorry for yourself, you feel, hey, things aren't working out the way they should. They're not doing this here, and that's not happening. And why is it that this is the way these things are happening to me? Why? And the more we question ourselves, why, the more we feel sorry for ourselves. We say, it always works for other people, but it doesn't work for me. It always brings happiness to other people, but it doesn't bring happiness to me. Why is that? And we persist in asking ourselves that question. And then, inside of ourselves, there's a little tug that says, you know why. You know why it doesn't work. You know why things are not functioning the way you want them in your life. Oh, you think I do? Well, if I do, tell me, and then I'll know also more thoroughly that I know. Well, think about it. Things do not work out well in your life because you think things do not work out well in your life. Oh, come on now, that's just begging the question. No, that's the twist. That's the whole thing. Things do not work out well in your life because you think things do not work out well in your life. Can you look at something and say it's absolute opposite and believe the opposite that you are saying? Can you say black is white and white is black and believe it? Can you say that this information is incorrect? Can you say this information is correct? Can you go out and blatantly say right in the face of appearances that it is not so? Can you say you're whole and perfect even while you're sick? Can you say you're abundant even while you're poor? Can you say you have many friends who are around you while everybody's put you on their blacklist? Think about it. Who is the only person in the world that matters, really? You say, well, I'd like to think it's me. Yeah, well, you don't, do you? You'd like to think it, and that's why you say you'd like to think it, but you don't. You feel sorry for yourself. You're not working in absolute. Absolute is that which is already fulfilled. Absolute is that which is already accomplished. Absolute is done. Fait accompli. Nothing more to be done. Now, what is it that you would like to have accomplished in your life that you're feeling sorry for yourself that it's not done? What would you like? Well, I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. Don't you wish? I'm independently wealthy. Now, if you were independently wealthy, how would you act? If you were independently wealthy, what would happen in your life? What would be different than what you do right now? What does an independently wealthy person do? Well, number one, an independently wealthy person knows he has abundance. And he acts as though he has abundance. He doesn't necessarily spend it. He knows he has abundance, and he acts as though he has abundance. Now, can you buy a happy life? Can you buy health? Oh, sure, sure. All these medicines and all these pills and stuff. Can you buy relationships? Well, yeah, friends who like you when you got money. Mm-hmm, sure. Can you buy the kind of house you want with money? No. These things all are done with the heart. You buy the type of house you want with your heart. You look at the house you want, and then you do it. Now, we had a man come by here the other day who was working on one of our pieces of heating equipment. And he'd been by here before, in fact, several years before. And each time he came by, he looked at our little red Jeep and he said, "Oh, I'd love to own that. I'd love to own that. Will you sell it?" And we were not interested in selling him. Well, yesterday, or 2 days ago, or what it was, he came by and he said, "I'd like to buy that Jeep." And we said, "Okay. When do you want it?" He said, "Now." He said, "I'll pay cash for it." And we said, "Wonderful." And so we looked in our blue book, and as we looked up what it was worth and what it was valued at, and we gave him the opinion. He looked at several things which were incorrect because we didn't put all the facts in yet. But once we had all the facts in there, it was listed at between $7,000 and $5,000. And it was, it's a nice little red Jeep in excellent condition. Just beautiful. Well, he says, "Yes, I'll take it. And I'll give you $3,500. And we said, "Well, that's really not quite fair. That's not really right. It should be more." And he said, "Well, I'll give you cash." And I said, "Well, that's not the point that you give us cash. It's a matter that if we sell this, we should sell it for what it is, has a good value for him." And then we just thought to ourselves, well, we really don't have a use for it. We can sell it. And so we said, "Okay, fine." He said, "Okay, I'll be out Sunday and pick it up. And I'll be out in the morning." And we said, "What time will you come out?" He says, "Well, sometime before lunch." And we said, "Fine." So we waited for him. We waited for him and we waited for him. And he didn't come. And we thought to ourselves, he didn't really want that Jeep. He was merely telling us he wanted it because he knew that we weren't selling it and he knew he wouldn't have to buy it. But all of a sudden, now he has to buy it when he said he wanted it. Now, does he really want to part with that $3,500 that he has in cash? Or does he have the $3,500 in cash? Or was he pulling our leg? Did he want us to object to and say, "No, no, that's not enough. You've got to give us more." And then he'd say no, because then he'd be making the decision not to do it. But he said, "Yes, okay." Well, now, that man didn't come yesterday. And so I said to Ellen, he did not keep his appointment and he did not show up. I don't really think he wants a Jeep. And rather than feel sorry about it, just keep it. We'll sell it for what it's really worth. And surely there'll be someone around who wants to buy that beautiful thing for what it's worth. Now, Ellen said, "Well, all right, okay, we'll think about that." Now, we're like this man who wants to buy this Jeep. He doesn't really want to buy it. He wants to buy it. He wants everybody to think he wants to buy it. He wants everybody to think that he has aspirations for having that lovely little vehicle and has aspirations for enjoying it. It's something that he always wanted. And then all of a sudden he has a chance to have it, and he doesn't take that chance. Well, he feels sorry for himself. He doesn't live in the absolute and say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, and then goes home and does everything necessary to bring it about. We're all faced with absolute reality. We're all faced with these things, and then we feel sorry for ourselves because we lied to ourselves. We don't really want something. If we want it, we could have it. If we want this, we could have that. No matter what it is in the world, if we want friendship, then we'd be a friend. It's not how much money we have. We could be rich in friendship. If we want a beautiful house, we could have it. And it would not be a matter of whether we buy this expensive, beautiful house, but we could live in it. We could very readily have it, because when that's the house we have in our consciousness, that's the house we have in our heart, and we don't doubt it. You see, feeling sorry for ourselves is doubting it. And if we doubt it, if we feel sorry for ourselves, then it will not come to pass. Or if it does come to pass, we will pay a very heavy price for it. We will pay for it with money that we need for other things, or that we choose for other things. We will not be living in our independent abundance, in our independently wealthy consciousness. We will not be living in the absolute realm of awareness of who we are. We will not be living in that absolute thought. Can we realize how we can bring about the experiences that we want in our life by living in the absolute now? It is done. It is done. It is now. My health is not something tomorrow. My wealth is not something tomorrow. My friendships are not something tomorrow. They are now. Do I like myself now? Then I'm surrounded by friends. Do I like myself now? Then I am independently wealthy. Do I like myself now? Then I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Do I like myself now? Then I'm a wonderful, wonderful person, and I'm a happy, happy, happy person. Do I like myself now? Then I'm living in absolute right now. Can I afford to live in absolute? Can I afford to be in this awareness of consciousness of living in absolute right now? Can I afford that? Can I afford to be in that attitude? Can I afford it? Or is my feeling sorry for myself that I don't have these things so prominent, so powerful, that it virtually, factually, actually keeps me from enjoying all those things that truly are mine now? It's a principle. If I feel sorry for myself, I am putting a cause in motion that I don't want whatever it is that I say I want. When I feel sorry for myself, I'm putting that cause in motion that says to me, I do not deserve to have whatever it is I say that I want. What do you want? What's your goal for yourself? Are you living in a life of feeling sorry for yourself, of taking pills and going to the doctor and wishing you had friends and wishing you had a place to live that was more to yours, more to your enjoyment? Wishing that you had this or that? If that's who you are, and you're just feeling sorry for yourself and you're wishing that you had it, you can be sure you'll never get it. Because it'll always just elude you. It'll titillate you and make you think you like it, but not enough to stop feeling sorry for yourself that you don't have it. Because the moment you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, contrary to the appearances, then it is done. The moment you say, I'm independently wealthy, I'm independently wealthy, oh, 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 I'm independently wealthy, that sparkling attitude of yours will reveal it in your life. This day, make that claim for yourself. Feeling sorry is not absolute. An absolute only knows beingness, only knows it is done. Have a wonderful day, and know that it's done. I love you. I love you. I love you.